morning and welcome to this, our first Sunday in Lent. We meet in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Just by way of notices, first of all, it was lovely to be able to welcome those of you that came on Wednesday evening to our Ash Wednesday service to begin the season of Lent. We are now into the full swing of things with this first Sunday, which means that the Lent groups will now be beginning this coming week. So we have two Lent groups, one on Monday evenings at Holy Trinity Church Hall at 7:30, and the other one in the sanctuary at 2 p.m. on Wednesday afternoons. We'll be looking at the Gospel of Mark, thinking through, obviously, elements of the stories throughout Lent, but also spending time thinking about what makes Mark's Gospel Mark rather than Luke or Matthew or John. And by way of a teaser, if you haven't heard of something called a Markan sandwich, which I'm going to embarrass him slightly, Reverend Graham hadn't either, then come along and find out what that might be about. Because I promise you, Markan sandwiches are really quite interesting. And once you notice them, they're all over the place. So come along, find out what on earth I'm on about. It should be a good few weeks. It'll go up until the week before Holy Week, so there won't be a Lent group in Holy Week, but up until the week before. Then in Holy Week, we'll have a variety of different services, and as I've invited you before, I'm just going to remind you again. Do have a think about which of those you might like to come along to. I'm not worried about having more people at services, but I would love to see more people going to at least one service, because it is a helpful space along the journey to Easter in reflecting on what we really do believe about Jesus, who loves us, who lived for us, who died for us, and who rose again to set us free. I do have one other notice to give before we begin, which is I've just been told before the service began that unfortunately Sandra Mason has been taken unwell and gone into hospital this morning. We don't yet know any details of that situation, but we're going to just take a quick moment to pray for her and the care that she's going to receive. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sandra and all that she is and means to us. We pray for her in this moment that your Holy Spirit will be close to her, being a comfort and a strength to her. We pray for all those who are attending to her and looking after her, asking that you'll give them the wisdom and the grace they need to make sure that she is well and healthy. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So, we turn to our Lent orders of service. I hope that you're all able to see one of these between you. There's one or two ever so slight differences as we go through, but nothing should be too surprising along the way. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing our first hymn, There is a Redeemer. But I think we've got Tiger Club going out this morning. So let's pray for our Tiger Club as they head out to celebrate and enjoy God together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our young people and we thank you that you love all of us, whatever age we might be, and see us as the persons you have created us to be. We pray for Tiger Club this morning that they will have fun, that they will see something new they haven't understood of you before, and that they will be encouraged in their faith and place in our church. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and sing our first hymn, There is a Redeemer.
Oh,
Together we say, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Compassion and forgiveness belong to the Lord our God, though we have rebelled against him. Let us then renounce our willfulness and ask his mercy by confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon and forgiveness of all your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and strength of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our collect prayer for this, the first Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Would you please be seated as we hear our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Deuteronomy, chapter 26, beginning to read at verse 1. When you have entered the land the Lord our God giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out unto the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 8. The word is near you, It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us stand and sing our next hymn, number 278. I will sing the wondrous story. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Christ. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went throughout all of the surrounding county. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? And so our gospel reading is that great entrance into the season of Lent. Jesus goes into the desert for 40 days of fasting, prayer, reflection, and indeed temptation, very much as we do ourselves in Lent. And yet, making this parallel between Jesus and our sense of Lent isn't the only parallel that we might draw. For indeed, Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days, much as the Israelites, the people of God, wandered in the wilderness some 40 years between their deliverance and their arrival into the promised land. And it's remembering this tenor of deliverance that we should use to unpack the parallel further. Because our passage begins, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. For before this, not in the immediate verses before this is the genealogy, but before that, we have the baptism of Jesus, where he goes to the River Jordan and John baptizes him in the Jordan. And the heavens open and they see the form of a dove coming down upon Jesus. And John hears this declaration over Jesus saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Baptism is a symbol of God's deliverance, and Jesus enters into the fullness of that symbol to be identified with us, just as he is being identified with the people of Israel who had passed through the Red Sea, fleeing captivity in Egypt, having this miraculous deliverance of their oppression, passing through the waters that a short while later would cascade down to drown their oppressors. Their arrival into the wilderness is heralded by an act of deliverance. And it's worth us remembering this as we come into a time of Lent and a time of reflection. For all too often when we are in the wilderness, when we are beset by difficulties and afflictions, we wonder where God is. And yet we have entered into this by an act of deliverance. We cannot separate out God from the wilderness that we are going into if we are Christians. Jesus enters into the waters of the Jordan like the Israelites passed through the Red Sea, and then they had a season of difficulty. Christians experience the love of God. They say, "I believe in Jesus Christ," and then they live their life and they find themselves beset by all manner of difficulties. Perhaps it might be grief, loss of a loved one. Perhaps it might be the ailments of age. Or perhaps it might be anxiety around finances, or whatever it might be that is making your heart heavy. The good news here is that going into the wilderness does not mean that you are forsaken, but that you have been accompanied by the presence of God. And this is an interesting thing to notice when we talk about Jesus going in. He goes into the desert filled with the Spirit. He leaves the desert filled with the Spirit. But whilst he's in the desert, he is tempted by the devil. He doesn't eat anything for 40 days and he becomes weakened. Indeed, we have a surprisingly simple, yet I would argue beautiful phrase right in the midst of this encounter. Jesus did not eat anything for 40 days. And when those days were ended, he was hungry. A reminder to us that all that he is doing in the desert, he is doing as a human being just like we are. We cannot look at this story and say he survived and managed because he was God. He is God, that is true, but he is human, and that is also true. If he does not get tempted and suffer in his humanity, he cannot endure these things alongside us, with us, and for us. If he is just God floating through life on easy mode, what connection does he have with us? No, he enters into the hardcore human difficulty mode and says, "I'm going to experience hunger and temptation." And the devil indeed comes and makes three temptations that we know of, but I'm sure that there were others as well. And in each one, the challenge to Jesus at its core is, let me, the devil, give you the things that are already rightfully yours. He wants Jesus to accept the devil as being somehow greater than him. He says, "Look, let me give you power and glory. Look, you can turn this stone into bread. Do what I am asking you to do." And Jesus' response is to say, "It is written. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Each time, he calls back to the testimony of the word in the scriptures. And this is such an important principle for us to remember, that the scriptures, divinely inspired as they are thoroughly the work of human hands. Ordinary people have written these words, have reflected on them, have compiled them and brought them together. Ordinary people is what the stories of scripture are about. We mentioned grief. If you want to know what grief feels like or how you can have hope in the midst of it, turn to the scriptures. There are too many examples to point them out, but let's go with David, the king, grieving for his son. Even though he didn't get on with his son, he grieves when he dies. Isn't that a human emotion to deal with? We talk about illness. There are so many examples of illness throughout the Old Testament. Some people get healed, yes, but others remain afflicted and wasting away. We We have people who have been exiled, forced to leave their homes under the most difficult of circumstances, to live in the land where they do not speak the language and where the religions and cultures are different. Is that not an experience that people have in the world even today in the midst of the wars that are going on? We have the ailments of age. We have, for example, Samuel and Eli, Jacob and Isaac, all great figures who in their old age lose their eyesight. Probably we would call it cataracts, or they've got macula. Is that not a relatable thing to say that these heroes of the faith experience something that many of us are going to struggle with without the benefit of surgeries that are easily available to us? There are words, stories, and situations in here that no matter what heaviness is on your heart, what difficulty you are in the midst of, you can respond to your situation and say, but it is written that the Lord will be with you. He has plans for your good and to prosper you. It is written that he will be our God and we will be his people. It is written that he has made a covenant of love with us, whatever your situation. And this brings us on to Romans, because I think that Romans talks about exactly this in such a wonderful way. We've got Romans 10, verse 8 onwards. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Now, Paul talking about the word of faith is not just talking about the gospel of Jesus who died for us, that we might be purified and forgiven of our sins. Not just that he rose again from the dead for us, but that this man Jesus was foretold and long expected throughout all the scriptures. When Paul was preaching in the synagogues, although he was the apostle to the Gentiles, he spent a lot of time explaining why he was telling the Gentiles about a Jewish God, explaining what the Jewish scriptures had to say and do. He would quote from Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Genesis, the Psalms, Isaiah, Micah, Malachi, Zechariah, all of those are referred to. And in this very passage, we have a reference to Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 28. Paul's talking about the word of faith. It's not just about Jesus. It's about the fullness of the scriptures that point to Jesus. And so when he says to us, the word is near to you, in your mouth and in your heart. Because if you confess, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Whatever our situation, we can believe and we can confess and point to the word of faith that is near to us in God. Now, I don't normally in a sermon talk about my experience of preparing the sermon. Normally, I try and just present the conclusions as they are without taking you on a journey. But I made a slight mistake when I first looked at this passage. My eyes jumped to verse 10, and I went, oh, if you believe, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And I was going to talk about the need through Lent to reflect on how we are doing internally with God, but then to make an effort to demonstrate that to those around us by confessing our faith in God. Now, I believe that is true and worthy of sharing, but to just hone in on that is to miss a powerful beauty in the combination of these two verses. For if we notice with verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then we reverse it from the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses. So you go from the mouth to the heart and from the heart to the mouth. It's not something that we have to get right inside of us to express, but something that by expressing is strengthened within us, which enables us to go out. We end up in a cycle, a feedback loop of faith and confession. And the power and the beauty of this is that in the midst of our difficulties and our sufferings, sometimes we can find ourselves in one of two situations. We can feel like God isn't there. But we can remind ourselves by reading the scriptures and declaring them over ourselves that God has been faithful to us in Christ Jesus. And by so doing, we can encourage our faith in the midst of our difficulty. Or we might find ourselves in a situation where we believe in God, but we haven't got any words. This is a pain I can't articulate. This is something that I've got no words for. And yet, through that, the belief comes out of us. It comes through us and is seen by those around us. And we need to have this balance of both, and we can journey through both. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead and we will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For scripture says, Paul then demonstrates this, reminding us of the word from Isaiah, which is close to us in God, in our mouth and our hearts. The Lord, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So as we enter into this Lenten season, let us reflect on where we are in the midst of our difficulties. Let us call to mind, in our hearts, the word of God. Let us confess that he is Lord. But in those moments where we are struggling in our hearts, let us return to the scriptures and encourage ourselves with what has been said that we might nourish our hearts. When we are silent, we must reflect, and when we must reflect, we must speak. It goes in a cycle round and round and encourages and nurtures us on and through. For by engaging in this process, by believing and confessing and confessing and believing, we shall be saved not from our situations, but within them. Within the midst of grief, we find the gift of laughter. Within the midst of despair, we find the gift of hope. Within the darkness of the world, we see the light that shines and shall never be overcome. For the word of the Lord is near to you, in your heart and in your mouth. Just as it was near to Jesus in his temptations in the wilderness. Just as when he is at his physical weakest and at the greatest moment of temptation, he is able to respond, "It is written." Living in that, he emerges from the wilderness. And the people of the surrounding county see him, and they witness him, and they hear his stories, his teaching, and they see the example of his character and his life. And they glorify God on account of him. This is the one who has come to live amongst us. We might see the face of God in the face of Jesus, who has died for us on the cross that he might remove every degree of separation between us and God. He has joined us so intimately and thoroughly that even the death through which we all shall pass, he has gone before us and joined us in. So that just as he was weak with us, we shall be strong with him in his risen life. And one day, after we have died, we too shall be resurrected to live in his eternal joy and presence. Forever and ever. Let us stand and together, believing in our hearts, confess with our mouths our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us sit or kneel for a time of prayer.
Let us pray to our wonderful Heavenly Father. We pray for all who are longing for salvation, that they may have a deep conviction in their hearts to turn from their sins and follow and obey Jesus. Lord, we ask that you open their hearts and minds to receive your truth. Help all to understand the significance of confessing with their mouths and believing in their hearts. May they experience the transformative power of your grace and mercy as they surrender their lives to you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father, knowing our weakness in the face of temptation, we ask you for your strength and protection so that though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of all, we pray today for those who strive to further world peace, government leaders at summits and conferences, envoys and diplomats seeking to diffuse tensions or end conflict, peacekeeping forces sent into dangerous situations to establish or maintain a truce, delegates discussing arms, treaties and a reduction of weapons, anti-war protesters and disarmament campaigners, all who in different ways endeavour to heal the wounds that divide us. And obviously we particularly think of Ukraine at this time, with possible peace talks in the offing, Israel and Palestine and other areas we hear of very little, where there are external and internal conflicts. Through the efforts of the peacemakers, Lord, bring peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, in March, nature begins to wake up and shake off its winter sleep. Thank you for the purity of the snowdrops, the striking colours of the crocuses, the wavy yellow heads of the early daffodils. Such encouragement to eyes bored with brown. Give us hearts full of anticipation as spring arrives, fresh and on time. And again, you demonstrate your faithfulness and patience through the natural world. Make us faithful too, both in our relationships and the way we live our faith. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we think of all who are sick and bereaved, especially those faced by sudden illness, those wrestling with long-term disease, those suffering disabled conditions of the body and or mind, those undergoing treatment or surgery, and those coming to terms with terminal illness. And those, of course, who have lost a loved one, whether a partner, a child, or someone close to them. We bring before you in a moment of silence those known to us personally. Grant all who are sick your help and strength, peace and reassurance, comfort and support, courage and hope. And of course, for this prayer, we especially think of Sandra Mason at this time. For the bereaved, the courage, support and strength they need to cope with the reality of death, yet to trust that it will not have the final say, that somehow, Lord, you are able to bring new beginnings out of endings, buried seeds yielding new life, winter turning into spring. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, bless the generations, the tiny babies fresh from heaven's sunrise, the growing children exploring the bright new world, the grown-ups travelling life's dusty road, older people enjoying the colours of the setting sun where earth's horizon touches heaven. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access to his grace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Now we sing our next hymn, number 620. Ye servants of God, your Master, proclaim. Sustain us on our way and lead us to your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and ever and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And now we give you thanks because he was tempted in every way as we are, and yet did not sin. By his grace we are able to triumph over every evil, and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died for us and rose again. As we prepare to celebrate the Easter feast with joyful hearts and minds, we bless you for your mercy and join with saints and angels forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread and gave it to them and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul into everlasting life. The blood of Christ. us with the living bread from heaven. By it you nourish our faith, increase our hope, and strengthen our love. Teach us always to hunger for him who is the true and living bread, and enable us to live by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life, and we who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit loves give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We have reflected amongst ourselves on believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouth. But let's hear briefly what we have had today in Tiger Club. Oliver, do you want to just come and share briefly what you've all been up to? What have you made here today? What is it?
It was the toy there.
Sorry?
It was make good choices, because who had to make good choices in the wilderness?
So we have a cube with different choices on it, representing the different choices that were available to Jesus in the wilderness. Hold that up for everybody to see. Isn't that brilliant? I'm not sure that I could make something that would stay in such a good shape. You get a bit more of a squashed up ball. So well done to Oliver. That's brilliant. Do you want to take a seat? Lovely to have you share what you've been doing in your sessions together. But we have something else that I'd like to do to celebrate before we bring our service to a close. I'm going to invite Graham and Corin to come forwards to be suitably embarrassed. So we've got Graham and Corin forwards today because this weekend is a very special occasion. Would you like to say what this wonderful occasion is?
So it's 50 years since we were married.
50 years since they were married. Congratulations.
And that's a demonstration of how you survive 50 years in marriage by doing as you're told.
So I'd like to ask if you have an example of one kind of blessing that God has given you both in the last 50 years.
Oh, where'd you start? So, yeah, can I borrow a Bible just for a bit?
The word is near in your mouth and in your heart, or in the Bible in the pews, so it's a good resource.
So Samuel was talking, I'm not going to preach, but Samuel was talking to us about God's covenant. And the day we were married, we made a covenant with each other. And God made a covenant with us. And that covenant has been worked out. Samuel said, how many blessings have you had? There are just so many. Hasn't always been easy. There have been some very dark times. And lots of people in the congregation will know and have had their own. But it's God's covenant that does this. And just some words from... This is what God said to the prophet Hosea. He said, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice. And I will betroth you in faithfulness. Now that's what we thought we were doing on the 8th of March 1975. And it's what we've done our best to do ever since. But had God not made that covenant with us, it wouldn't have been possible. And so really, for me, that's the biggest blessing of the lot. But as Corinne said, there are loads.
And I think the other thing that has been a blessing to you, not to put words into your mouth, but has been this community here together as well over the last however many years. And am I right in thinking that afterwards they're all welcome to come and join us?
Just to follow on from that, this community is important. Had it not been for this community, we wouldn't have been here at all. Mm-hmm. And really, David's wife, Anthea, is the person who brought us back to this place. We will be forever grateful. Mm-hmm. If, just as it's our 50th, if you would like to just share a glass with us in the parish rooms afterwards, that would be really nice. You are all very welcome.
Lovely. Well, let's give them a round of applause. Let us pray for them and thank God for their 50 years of marriage. And perhaps if you would like to extend a hand towards them, do feel free to do so. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we lift up our hearts to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him you have made a covenant of grace with your people by the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We praise you for the gift of marriage, in which the love of husband and wife reveals your purposes of love for the world. We thank you today for Graham and for Corinne, for leading them together in friendship and love, commitment and trust, and for bringing them here to remember before us all your blessings in and through their marriage, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Living God, by the presence of your Holy Spirit, may they know the risen Christ to be with them now as they celebrate their covenant journey together. May their lives continue to be a witness to your saving love in this troubled world. As you pour out your love, may they grow together in your sight and each continue to be to the other a companion in joy, a comfort in sorrow, and a strength in need. As you blessed your earthly home at Nazareth with the presence of your Son, may their home be a place of security and peace, and bring us all at the last to that great marriage banquet of your Son in our home in heaven, where with all your saints and angels in the glory of your presence, we will forever praise you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Graham and Corinne, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you. The Lord mercifully grant you the riches of his grace, that you may continue to please him both in body and soul, and living together in faith and love, may receive the blessings of eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Traditionally, in Lent, we are slightly depressing, reflective, somber, whatever. But we're going to give them one last round of applause, and then we're going to sing You Shall Go Out With Joy, and we'll sing it a couple of times, and then all head over to continue the celebrations in happiness and joy on this beautiful sunny day. Congratulations, Graham and Corinne. Would you please stand as we sing our final hymn, which is whatever number. Shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace and the Lord. Field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and you'll go out with joy, and you'll go out with joy, and you'll go out with joy, and you'll go out with joy. Lord, take these gifts and those which are given by other ways and means, they may be taken and used for your glory. Amen. One of these days I will remember that the collection is coming up during that last hymn, but we might be waiting a little while. And so hopefully encouraged that if we believe in God in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we shall be saved. Encouraged by the example of those who are younger, exploring and engaging with our faith that we find so beneficial. And encouraged by the example of a love which has been lived through good times and bad in the midst of our presence and friendship. Let us go out on this sunny day, knowing that we are a community of love wrapped up in the presence of God's Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love. Defend you on every side and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.